This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Have you already voted yet? Almost 85 million Americans have already voted as we sit here on the Friday before Election Tuesday. Almost 85 million Americans have already voted. In the state of Texas, they've almost matched how many people voted in 2016 in that presidential election. And we're still Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days before Election Day, Election Day Tuesday.
For those who can't see, John, he literally just counted on his fingers just now.
Well, I'm not that good in math. That's why I got into radio, Coleman. By the way, if you've already voted here in Louisiana, there's one thing that I hope you voted for. One of the questions on the ballot asks you if you think it should be legal to gamble on sporting events. And I would hope you would vote yes on that. And that's obviously for the state of Louisiana. Besides who you're voting for president, they always have questions and such. And one of the questions is, do you think it should be legal in the state of Louisiana to gamble on sports? And I would hope you would vote yes, because that's going to be a lot of money for the state of Louisiana, things we need, education and such. I know there's lots of people from Louisiana that just drive over to Mississippi. And they, because it's been legal there for a little while now, and it's legal in a bunch of states. And I would hope that's how you would vote on that question. But almost 85 million people have already voted. And by the way, I saw an interview with a professional odds maker. And he said that this presidential election is going to be the most bet-on event in history. I mean, more people are going to bet on the Trump-Biden election than who bet on the last Super Bowl. Think about that. This guy is a British odds maker. His name is Pete Watt. And he's done some interviews, and he just said the other day, right now, they've pulled in almost $300 million in bets.
And this is worldwide? Because he is from British, right? Britain.
Yeah, I was wondering that too, Coleman.
Because I'm thinking the year of COVID with the economy the way it is, how could this possibly, like, who has who has the disposable income in this time, in this day and age during COVID to make this the most bet-on event in history compared to past Super Bowls when the economy was booming? That's the weirdest part about this entire thing.
He's a British odds maker where betting on everything is legal in England. You can bet on everything in England.
Okay.
And he's a spokesman. He works for the company Odds Checker US. Odds Checker Us.
I guess you, this is the U.S. United States?
Odds Checker US, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know how many people in England are voting on the presidential election, but he says as of right now, as we sit here on this Friday morning, just a few days before the huge Trump-Biden election day Tuesday, almost $300 million has already been bet. And listen to these odds. This is why. This is incredible, Coleman. Listen to these odds. If you bet $10 on Donald Trump, you would win $28.80. So every $10 you bet on Donald Trump would give you $28.80. If you bet the same $10 on Joe Biden, you would only get $15.26.
Hmm.
That's how much of a favorite Joe Biden is. And by the way, he's more of a favorite than that. Those odds right there are not as big as other odds. Like, you could legally vote on this in Las Vegas, and I don't think you would get odds that favorable if you were gonna bet on either of these guys.
That's just amazing.
Think about that. That's how much of a favorite Joe Biden is. And if you're wondering, I mean, Donald Trump isn't just running against Joe Biden. He's running against the majority of the American media. He's running against the majority of American academia. He's running against the majority of the Hollywood, of the movie industry, the television industry, the music industry. Because most those folks, they despise Donald Trump.
He's also running against Republicans who don't like his attitude. Even though he has the most conservative policies almost ever, there's still Republicans who just don't like the way he goes about it. So there are those rhinos, those never Trumpers too, that's also Republicans.
And like I said, I think it's 90% of the American media despise the man. As a matter of fact, we didn't get to it yesterday, but I had a story how there was a newspaper, the newspaper in the city of Spokane, Washington, they endorsed Donald Trump for a second term. And then they said, even though he is a wretched human being, they said, with what he does with the economy, that's what this country needs right now. But they said, the Spokane, Washington newspaper, again, they're supporting Trump and they endorsed Trump. And they said, even though he is a wretched human being. I mean, that's how some other people feel. Well, I mean, look.
I think that's an unfair assessment.
Big mouth New York guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's wretched. Because one thing I can say about Donald Trump is he doesn't mess with people that doesn't mess with him first. He never goes out there and starts trouble. And whenever you see him, like, fighting back or insulting people, he only does it to people that mess with him and criticize him first. So I can't consider him a wretched human being. Now, when it comes to his personal life, like his marital affairs and all that, yeah, okay, maybe if you want to judge him on that aspect. But when it comes to him as a president, he doesn't mess. You know, you see him hugging flags and stuff like that, giving people thumbs up. And the only time you see him agitated and angry is when people pick on him first. He's a reactor. He's not the one taking wretched action. So I think that's an unfair assessment of the president.
But that is some endorsement, huh? This is the guy we think you should vote for, even though he is a wretched human being.
I have no problem with that, though. Vote your conscience, no matter. I guess I'm one of those people that can separate a person's personal life from their actions and their policies when it comes to their professional job, unless it's like way out the box, like Harvey Weinstein.
Well, look, I've asked a few times on this show. Does it really matter if he's a wretched human being? Does it really matter if he's a bleep hole? To me, as an American citizen, what matters most is the job performance as president and the job results as president. And before coronavirus, if the coronavirus never happened, he was cruising to a second term. I mean cruising. Now people are thinking, and the odds makers and people are thinking the coronavirus did him in.
Mm-hmm.
and his handling of it did him in. That's what they're saying. But I personally, I don't care. I don't care. You know, they used to always ask, hey, is this a candidate? Is this a president you'd like to have a beer or two with at a bar? And I don't care about that. All I care about is if he gets the job done. How about the growth yesterday for the quarter number three in the United States?
What is it, like 33.1?
33 broke all the records. So there's a financial comeback here in the United States. Yesterday, you know, every quarter they release how much our economy has grown.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday the numbers came out for quarter three in the United States. Right now, it just went up over 33%.
Well, think about if we just go straight to phase four without going to phase three, how much that would do for the economy. Dude, the economy is waiting to boom. We're just waiting on the government to release the restrictions on us so it can boom again. Like Donald Trump once said a few months ago that whenever this is all over with, it'll be the biggest boom in the economy ever. And I tend to agree because people are waiting to spend their money and get into stuff. I can't wait to go to a movie theater. I can't wait to do regular, simple stuff like that that adds to the economy.
Well, I just can't believe around 85 million people have already voted for president as we sit here going into the weekend before Election Day Tuesday. I mean, without a doubt, this is going to break records of how many people voted early. Do you think that helps Trump or do you think that helps Biden? See, the way I look at it, to me, that looks like it helps Biden.
I don't think so. I think the early voting helps Trump. Because, all right, here's why. When you look at Trump rallies as opposed to Biden rallies, who seems more excited to go vote for their person?
Oh, there's no doubt Trump rallies, but is that the same thing as 85 million people voting early?
Well, think about when you do go to a Trump rally, the people that go to Trump rallies, how long they have to wait in line, how long they're willing to drive to go to one. Because some of these people are coming from different towns and different states just to go to a Trump rally. So it would be no problem for them to go sit in a five-hour line to go early vote. So I think the excitement that you see at Trump rallies can kind of like factor in of the excitement you see with early voting. And when you look at Biden rallies, whenever he does decide to have one, you know, it's very minuscule in the comparison. It doesn't seem to have that same amount of excitement. So I think that excitement that you see at a Trump rally kind of like interprets into the excitement you see into early voting.
Joe Biden barely shows up at his own rallies. I mean, when he comes out of his basement up there. So, all right. Well, I can't believe how many people have already voted. There's the odds, and we'll see what happens. Hey, coming up on the show, I know there's a lot of people around New Orleans and our metropolitan region who don't have power, and they're not liking what they're hearing when it comes to when they're going to get their electricity back. Stay tuned for that. Also, there's a bunch of people who are pissed off at the Girl Scouts. All about that girl who grew up in Metairie. We'll tell you about that coming up. And there's a really good-looking model who's dating a famous football player. And even on the sexy pictures that she's tweeting out of herself in a bikini, there's a lot of fans saying, when's your boyfriend coming back? Because he's injured. Stay tuned for all of those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Alice Cooper there. Welcome to my nightmare. Are you ready for Halloween tomorrow night? How many people around the New Orleans metropolitan region are going to have Halloween, but it's going to be darker than usual because they have no electricity, no power still from Hurricane Zeta? I noticed that in Jefferson Parish, some of my Facebook friends were reporting that they got their power back last night. Others in Jefferson Parish, not so fortunate yet. And Entergy is saying that this weekend, by the end of this weekend, you should have your power back. And I know that something that made a headline bothered a lot of people yesterday, saying that they should have everybody restored within 7 to 10 days. But from everything I've been reading and seeing, hopefully by some point this weekend, if you haven't gotten your power back yet, you will get your power back. They use those numbers, 7 to 10 days. They use those as that's the longest time possible that you'll be without power. And they expect most people to have their power back sooner than that. Here in New Orleans, they're saying today is when you're not supposed to get your power back today, but today is when Entergy is going to start. They didn't start yesterday, even though the hurricane was 2 days ago. I think yesterday Entergy was just trying to figure everything out. And I believe it was the number 77% of Orleans Parish did not have electricity after Hurricane Zeta. And so today they're going to be out starting to restore people's electricity. But they didn't start yesterday. They're starting today in New Orleans.
It seems like Jefferson Parish has been getting preferential treatment this entire year when it comes to almost everything. As far as like the way the phases work and all that. Jefferson Parish is pretty cool.
And on the North Shore in St. Tammany Parish, CLECO is the electrical outlet for many, many, many people. And some people have already started getting their power back up there. So hopefully you get it back, obviously, sooner than later. This was, like it was predicted, this was more of a wind deal with Hurricane Zeta than it was with a rain water deal, because we didn't see a ton of flooding around New Orleans. Usually, hey, on a Tuesday morning, if it rains, parts of New Orleans floods. We didn't see that though with this particular hurricane.
Yeah, it had a lot more damage than I thought. You know, yesterday in the aftermath, when we get here, it's completely nighttime. You know, we get here at 3-4 in the morning. And when I was driving here, the majority of the neighborhoods were still pitch black. So I couldn't really see anything, so I didn't think it was that bad. However, driving home when it was daylight, I saw how bad it actually was. There were, like, telephone poles completely, like, just broken in half, like, in thick ones. There were billboards completely blown away. Like, the damage was really extensive, more so than I thought. You know, it was mostly wind damage, not necessarily flooding damage, but the wind took a heavy toll on the West Bank.
Well, of course the telephone poles are thick ones, Coleman. How many thin telephone poles have you seen in your life?
No, I mean like real, like redwood, oak wood thick.
So, Oh, and I wanted to bring this up because, you know, this woman who was just appointed by Donald Trump and approved, confirmed by the United States Senate to be our next Supreme Court justice, Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, I'm still blown away that she grew up in Metairie. She's from here. I mean, a girl who grew up in Metairie, played in the streets of Metairie, and the high school she went to was here in New Orleans. A girl who went to a high school in New Orleans is now a Supreme Court justice as a grown woman. Amy Coney Barrett. And there was some news surrounding her when it came to the Girl Scouts of America. Did you see that story, Coleman?
I think I came across it. I didn't get into the details of it, though.
A couple of days ago, the Girl Scouts tweeted out a tweet, and it had her picture on there along with the picture of the other four women who have been Supreme Court justices in the history of our country. And the Girl Scouts basically said, hey, congratulations. Here's a female. Here's a woman who's a Supreme Court justice. Well, as soon as they did that, they were attacked on Twitter. We've called Twitter, and we're not the only ones, a sewer. And this is a perfect example why. People went after the Girl Scouts. They were like, how dare you put her picture up there next to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, next to Sonia Sotomayor, next to Elena Kagan, and next to Sandra Day O'Connor, the other four women. See, those other four women, this particular woman is different than those women. I mean, this woman is Catholic. She went to Catholic schools growing up.
So?
Well, and there are some people that just do not like that, Coleman.
But that's just stupid, though. I mean, she did literally the same exact things the other four women did. She studied law. She became the top of her profession, and she was appointed by the president at the time, and she got confirmed. Just like all the other four women, she literally did the exact same things as the other four women did. So, yes, her picture deserves to be next to it and praised.
They
like the
deleted
other.
The tweet.
That's dumb.
They deleted the tweet, and then they came back, and they said that, look, they're not political. They're not blue or red. They're green, the Girl Scouts.
Okay.
They tweeted out after so many people complained about them congratulating Amy Coney Barrett from Metairie. They deleted the tweet. They took it down. And then they said, after that, they tweeted, Girl Scouts of the USA is a non-political, non-partisan organization. We are neither red nor blue, but Girl Scout Green. We are here to lift up girls and women.
Well, the best way to lift up girls and women is keeping the photo up there and praising all five of the women that became Supreme. That doesn't have that. Them congratulating the new judge has nothing to do with politics. They're saying, look, women can achieve the top of any profession just like any other male. Here's proof of them. Here's five of them that made it to the Supreme Court. So that isn't political. That's just saying, look, women can do anything. They shouldn't have to delete that tweet. They should have kept it up there.
They were right the first time, right, when they put their tweet up there. It shouldn't matter politically where you stand. It shouldn't matter. All that should matter is here's a woman who just became the fifth female to ever be on the United States Supreme Court. That should speak for itself. But so many people went after the, how dare you, Girl Scouts, you suck. How dare you put this woman up? And look, I've got friends, female friends on Facebook, Coleman, who they're feminists and they believe women should have equal rights and all of this. But they're ripping Amy Coney Barrett just because they hate the person who appointed her so much, because they hate the president so much. And that's what we saw on the Girl Scouts Twitter post with people attacking the Girl Scouts for putting Amy Coney Barrett's picture up there. So many of those people, they hate the man. They despise the man who appointed her. So that's why. And so now after the Girl Scouts took it down and then just tweeted what I just told you they did, I've got other Facebook friends. I'm done with the Girl Scouts. They were posting.
I didn't put it was with the cookies. They're not buying the cookies anymore.
Yeah. I'm never going to eat another Girl Scout cookie again. You know, I'll take my $100 that I usually spend on Girl Scout cookies every year, and I'll go buy Oreos in a store. I mean, I've seen a bunch of Facebook friends. I saw one Facebook friend post, bleep the Girl Scouts.
Wow.
Bleep you, Girl Scouts.
Wow. Look.
For taking down the tweet that they originally put up there.
That seems to be the new thing nowadays. Whenever somebody is upset with something, whether it's a person or organization, they automatically have to confess their rejection from that product or service. Like, I'm never doing this again. I'm never buying that again. I'm not watching that again. Like, people are starting, like, and then they're saying things like, I'm going to block you and I'm blocked this. It's like, we're getting to this point now where your big move is to reject yourself from something that you like just to show your, like, I'm not watching that show again because the host said this. I'm not listening to this song again because this musician said this. I'm not buying this product again because they support
yes,
this.
Yes, like where we're at. And I can't believe how many women of my Facebook friends and others, the her politics trump her gender. Her politics, and then they would normally be, oh, yay, women. Mm-hmm. Yay, all right, let's go women. But because maybe how she feels about a couple of issues don't agree. They don't agree with Amy Coney Barrett. The politics have become more important than her as a human being. And okay. I think that is so wrong.
Well, let's hear from the feminists themselves.
I'm in your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021.
You think she's gonna buy some Girl Scout cookies after this?
She's probably one of those bleep women. Who cares? I disagree with her politically. Isn't that something? That is something else here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. And I'll be honest with you, my head is blown. That a woman who grew up as a girl in Metairie is a United Supreme Court justice.
Right, everybody has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Halloween tomorrow night. Halloween is also known as All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve. It sounds like a witch hygiene product, doesn't it? You could buy in a store somewhere. You're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. The governor of California has angered a bunch of the people who live in California because he sent out a message with Thanksgiving rules. He's got rules for Thanksgiving. And there are people who live there that are like, what? And it's something when you can, when, you know, a governor, a politician can anger a bunch of people out in California because usually they're already kind of out there. But this was something. This is what the governor, Gavin Newsom of California, the message he sent to every resident in the state that he governs when it comes to Thanksgiving. Here's his Thanksgiving order. It requires the host of any private gathering. Now that means everybody. That means if you have your any family members over, any friends over, the rules for Thanksgiving in California this year according to the governor, requires the host of any private gathering to limit attendance to no more than 3 households and the duration to no more than 2 hours. So anybody you have over your house, they can live in no more than 3 different households. And he's telling you 2 hours is as long as they can stay at your Thanksgiving dinner, and then they've got to leave. This is what he's saying.
So now I'm confused.
Hold on. Hosts should ensure guests gather only outdoors and promote physical distancing, frequent hand washing, or sanitizing, and the use of masks or face coverings. These are the rules that the governor of California has just told every California resident for this upcoming Thanksgiving. So if you were planning on having family members or friends over, they can only live in 3 different households. They can only stay for 2 hours. You're supposed to eat the Thanksgiving dinner outside. And you're supposed to physical distance and then frequently wash everybody in the house frequently or outside the house. If they're outside the house, use the hose. Frequently wash your hands or sanitize your hands and use face masks or face coverings. Here's the kicker, Coleman. He also finished his Thanksgiving rules by saying, singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged and should be avoided.
Well, no politics for Thanksgiving dinner. Then that's definitely going to start some shouting matches. A few things about this. One, what? Thanksgiving is on what date? Somewhere 3 weeks away, maybe? How do they know what the numbers are going to look like in 3 weeks for them to even start to put these precautions in before Thanksgiving? You know, we haven't even got through Halloween yet. Two, how often should you wash your hand within a 2-hour span? You're only going to be there for 2 hours based on his rules. How many times should you wash your hands in 2 hours? 6? Like 3 times an hour? And the second thing, why only 2 hours? Let's say you are at a gathering, everyone seems okay, and what did the coronavirus activate after, 121 minutes after 2 hours, all of a sudden the coronavirus comes out like, hey, it's been 2 hours, it's time for me to wreck shop. Like, none of this makes any sort of sense whatsoever. And I can see why the people of California are upset.
Imagine... You know, football is big on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, there's a football game on, you're watching, there's a great play, you can't go, yeah! Well, oh, wait, that's too loud. Right. Oh, wait a minute, I should be watching the football game from outside. I should be watching through the window because he said everybody should stay outside for Thanksgiving this year. You know, and some people have taken to social media. Remember the actress Justine Bateman? She was on the TV show Growing Pains with Michael J. Fox. She just tweeted, Gavin Newsom, LOFL. Oh, so she's laughing out bleeping loud. No one is listening to you anymore. You have lost your mind.
Clearly.
You remember Rob Schneider from Saturday Night Live? Also in Adam Sandler movies?
Mm-hmm.
Rob Schneider said, Dear Emperor Newsom, during our allotted 3 family limit this Thanksgiving, if my aunt comes over, can I throw her a slice of turkey from the window? We promise not to sing. We will just whisper.
And then, what are you going to do for your traditional Thanksgiving nap? The Thanksgiving nap usually lasts about an hour. So, what, you going to spend 1 hour eating and socializing and 1 hour taking your nap, and as soon as you wake up, you got to go home?
Those are the California rules for Thanksgiving from their governor. I've never seen anything like, I'm surprised he didn't just say, you know, we're not going to allow people to have gatherings in their homes this year for Thanksgiving. I bet you if he could, he would have said that. But instead of saying that, he says that, again, these are the rules for any gathering at any house in the state of California for this Thanksgiving.
Well, he pretty much did say that for people who live in apartments and lofts and stuff like that, who don't even have a backyard or outside area or anything. So if all of your friends just happen to live in apartments, no Thanksgiving for you.
By the way, there are lots of people moving out of San Francisco, California, Los Angeles, California, and they're moving to places like Texas and Florida. Because even though, well, the biggest reason is because they're one of the highest taxed states in America, but coronavirus has also made people say, we got to get the hell out of here. And you know who's leaving California? Just sold his two mansions in Beverly Hills, California. Yeah, I know, not one, but two mansions in Beverly Hills. Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Hmm.
He's moving to Washington State. He just said, look, I'm not going to complain because I'm rich, but I mean, the amount of tax dollars that I pay is just absurd. And so he's fleeing. But a lot of people are leaving New York City too. I mean, the rents in New York City and in San Francisco have dropped by around 20% over the last couple of months. And they're going to keep going down.
It's amazing how that works, huh?
But boy, I've never seen anything like this. The rules for Thanksgiving, for everybody in Thanksgiving, if you're having people over your house for Thanksgiving, it doesn't matter, family, friends, whatever, your private gathering should limit attendance to no more than three households. So the governor, Gavin Newsom, doesn't want people to have people who live in more than three different households in one house for Thanksgiving. The duration of your Thanksgiving dinner / party should be no more than 2 hours. And hosts should ensure guests gather only outdoors. So eat that food and take that nap outside and watch that football game outside. And promote physical distancing, frequent hand washing or sanitizing, and the use of masks or face coverings. And in addition, singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged by the governor of California and should be avoided. Oh, and then he said, Happy Thanksgiving. And that's something. Hey, coming up next, wait till you hear. We did have a looting story here in New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Zeta. Wait till you hear the details on this coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's something how tomorrow's Halloween. And for many people here in the New Orleans metropolitan region, in southeastern Louisiana and parts of Mississippi as well, Halloween is going to be spent in the dark. After Hurricane Zeta, I've noticed some people have started to get their electricity turned back on, but you know, many others haven't. And I know Entergy has said that hopefully by the end of this weekend, most people will be having electricity again. And I know the numbers they gave yesterday, they freaked some people out by saying everyone will be restored in 7 to 10 days. But they have to say that. But they're hoping that most people will have their power back this weekend, tomorrow or Sunday. That's what they're hoping. And I noticed a bunch of friends in Jefferson Parish. Some got their power back last night. Others are still waiting. Here in New Orleans, where the numbers were 77% people were without power. Today, they are starting. Entergy to restore power in Orleans Parish. So, happy Halloween. So, during Hurricane Zeta 2 days ago, came through quick in the afternoon. Two people have been arrested for looting in New Orleans after Hurricane Zeta. A lot different than other hurricanes in the past. A lot more than two people were looting. But this story is something. Two people in New Orleans were arrested shortly after Hurricane Zeta passed through the city Wednesday afternoon for looting a Dollar General store. And they did this while the storm was still going on. The New Orleans police arrested 49-year-old Dimitri Vychko and 32-year-old Rhiannon Johnson.
You idiot!
How many people name their daughters Rhiannon because they were Fleetwood Mac fans and they love that song? How many Rhiannons are out there?
I have no idea.
There's a lot. And one of them just got arrested for looting a Dollar General store in New Orleans during Hurricane Zeta 2 days ago. The police responded to a burglar alarm at the Dollar General store on Old Gentilly Road at about 20 after 9 on Wednesday night. So the storm was gone pretty much at that point. It was just the tail end of the hurricane. And after New Orleans police heard the alarm, when they pulled up, they saw those two people walking away from the store's open door. The man, 49-year-old Dimitri Vychko, he was too drunk to give a statement to police when they were detained. His younger female friend, Rhiannon Johnson, told the police that they went into the Dollar General store because, quote, I got the police report right here. The door was wide open, unquote. All right, so it's a hurricane. It's the end of a hurricane. You're walking by a Dollar General store, and the door's wide open.
Well, that's the manager's fault.
She told Ms. Johnson, Rhiannon, told police she picked up a crate of unspecified goods and left it next to a garbage bin outside before leaving. Again, I've got the police report right here. This is exactly what it says in the police report.
Okay. These clearly aren't the brightest criminals.
So she had a bin, and she put a bunch of stuff, dollar stuff, from the Dollar General. She put it in the bin, and then she went outside the Dollar General store and then put the bin next to the garbage.
Oh, so they was going back for seconds. They went in, looted. Put the stuff on the side. They went back in for more. Then that's probably why they got caught.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I guess she had a small bin with her, filled it up with Dollar General store stuff, walked outside, and then put that next to the large garbage bin. But police weren't buying that story because officers found a brand new pair of slippers with the price tag still on while searching her purse.
So she has some stuff in her purse, too. I believe both of them. I believe she has stuff on the side of the garbage bin. I believe she has stuff in her purse. They was doing a mad dash.
I wonder if the price tag was a dollar on the slippers. The cop said the price tag was still on the slippers. And they also found a freshly opened pack of Sour Patch candy in the man's, Dimitri's, pocket when they patted him down. Because I don't know if you've ever been arrested before, if you've ever watched, there used to be a show on TV called Cops, but when people get arrested, they get patted down. When they patted them down, a freshly opened pack of Sour Patch candy.
I wonder how they could tell.
Yeah, how do they know?
I guess because it wasn't wrinkled enough.
That's good police work.
It wasn't the when they opened it at, it wasn't wrinkled enough to, you know, when you open it and reclose it and open it and reclose it.
We got good taste. Those Sour Patch aren't that bad. I'm not a sweets kind of guy, but.
Oh, I am. But yeah. I want to know how they, that's great police work, how they knew that he just opened it. Again, I got the police report right here.
So it seems like the manager just forgot to lock the sliding doors, because what happens is, whether it's Winn-Dixie, Rouses, wherever there's a grocery store and they have those sliding doors, whenever there's a power outage, the doors are programmed to open during business hours so people can leave out the store without having to fidget with it. But when you lock it, when you lock the sliding doors and there's a power outage, it's supposed to stay locked. So it seems like the people at Dollar General, after they closed, they just left. They closed the sliding doors and they just left without locking the sliding doors, because whenever the power goes out, those doors are programmed to automatically open so everybody can leave out just in case the power goes out during store hours. So these two probably just walking down the street. The streets are barren. He's drunk, probably trying to get some more beer. Realize that the Dollar General store is open. So, hey, why not? Let's just walk in.
I didn't know you knew so much about doors at Dollar General stores.
I had so many jobs before. I landed a somewhat job at radio. I'm a blue-collar guy. I got my hands dirty.
So the police did recover the crate or small bin of goods by the garbage bin outside. Both were booked with one count of looting, which Louisiana law defines as burglarizing a home or business during a state of emergency, like a hurricane.
Yeah.
If convicted, they face a minimum of 3 years in prison. Wow. 3 years in prison.
How did they not hit an alarm?
Few things from the dollar store. Or if the judge is in a bad mood that day, they could get up. They could get 15 years. They're looking at anywhere from 3 to 15 years in prison.
And it's mostly due to dumbness. Because if they wouldn't have went back for seconds, they could have gotten away with it. Once they went in, got the Sour Patch Kids in the sandals and left the first time and didn't come back for more, they could have gotten away with it. But no, they were being greedy. They probably didn't hear their alarm. They're like, you know what? We're drunk already. Let's go back in and get some more stuff. Nobody's going to.
Well, I know a few New Orleans police officers. The next time I talk to one, if I talk to one later today, maybe on Facebook, I'm Facebook friends with a few of them. I'm gonna find out how they knew that little bag of Sour Patch candy was, quote-unquote, freshly opened. I mean, if I'm that drunk dude, I'm like, dude, I've had these in my pocket since yesterday.
Like, I forgot about them.
Well, anyways, a little bit different when it comes to looting in New Orleans after a hurricane. Two people were arrested. And they were arrested for looting the Dollar General store on Old Gentilly Road Wednesday night. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So this weekend, we have to turn the clock back an hour for daylight saving time. I thought we were done doing that. I thought we were finished doing that. And there's a funny meme going around. On social media, it says turning back the clocks and adding an hour to 2020 is like getting a bonus track on a Yoko Ono album. You know, if we had the opportunity, I think most Americans would move the clock up about 2 months. So we could be in 2021 already. But did you know, because we do it Saturday technically Sunday morning at 2 a.m. That's when we're supposed to do it, right? But it used to be on Sunday at 7 p.m. when we turned the clock back an hour. But it had to be changed because 60 Minutes was coming on at the same time it ended. So that confused a lot of people. So they said, look, when we move the clocks back an hour, let's not do it at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Let's do it at 2 a.m. on Sunday.
I let my iPhone change the clock for me. I don't keep up with it.
Well, good thing that's how most people are now, Coleman, because there's no electricity in a lot of people's homes around New Orleans right now, and they wouldn't be able to move their clocks back anyways. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see who tested positive for COVID-19? The quarterback of Clemson University, the dude with the long hair.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Trevor Lawrence. The guy, well, who LSU beat last year in the national championship game, but when he was a freshman, he beat Nick Saban in Alabama to win the national championship. He's a junior this year. And news broke yesterday that he just tested positive for coronavirus, COVID-19, and he's going to miss this Saturday's Clemson game against Boston College. That should affect the point spread a little bit. You know, he was in the news earlier this week because the Jets are the worst team in the NFL right now. They're 0-7. I mean, there's some bad teams, but they're the only one that has yet to win one game. And so they figure if they just keep losing, they're going to draft him because they're going to have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft because they're the worst team. And everybody is saying, every expert is saying, he is going to be the number one player picked. No, overall, no matter who's picking. Now, the Jets are a horrible organization. I mean, the Jets, they're not even number one in their own city. I mean, for so many years, the Jets played their home games at Giants Stadium. Now the new Meadowlands is called MetLife. But they share that stadium with the Giants. They've always been the number two team in New York. The Giants are the most popular team in the biggest city in America. And the Jets will always be number two. Plus, the Jets just aren't a good organization. So he made news earlier this week by saying, because people have been talking to him, dude, you don't want to go to the Jets. You don't want to go to the Jets. You don't want to go to the Jets. You'll never win. They won't put good players around you. You'll suck. Much like everybody said the same thing to Joe Burrow this past year coming out of LSU, because Cincinnati Bengals, they're just a bad organization. Their owner is cheap. They're just bad. They don't spend money to go get good players. And it's going to be a very long year for Joe Burrow. But hopefully the future will be brighter.
Right.
So here's Trevor Lawrence, and you're talking about quarterbacks that all they ever did was win from high school to college. That's all these guys do is win. And now all of a sudden you're going to go to the worst organization in the NFL. So all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, earlier this week, said, you know, we'll see what happens next year. I might stay for my senior season and play at Clemson one more year. I might stay because he's a junior this year, and if you're going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft after your junior year, you know, you go. I mean, you're going to get the most money that you can possibly get. I can't imagine him staying one more year at Clemson. I mean, when you're guaranteed to be the number one overall pick, Coleman, you're guaranteed to make more money, a lot more money than every other pick, including the number two overall pick. Why would you go back for one more year of college? Think about what could happen. You could get hurt. Things could happen that could make you fall from the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. So I don't care what he said earlier this week. In my opinion, there's no way Trevor Lawrence is going back to Clemson after this year. When you're guaranteed to be the number one overall pick, you have to go. I mean, you have to go. And then play 3 or 4 years with that bad organization and then leave after that.
That's what I would assume. Look, my thing is this. Most college people are broke. Yes, if I was a quarterback, I would play for the worst NFL team ever because I know my paychecks is going to be a lot better than working at Burger King or Wendy's when I get out of college. So, yeah, you would have to take it. That's what I would do. Yes. Look, and then you're in the NFL. You know the odds of people who make it to the NFL in the first place, even if it is with the worst team? Dude, like what, 10% of people who play actually make it or something like that?
Oh, not even that.
Not even 10%. Yeah, exactly. Right. Not even 10%.
I don't even know. I don't even know if it's 1%.
Just to get in the door. Yes, I would play for the worst team in the NFL. Just get me in the door.
Yeah, but when you're guaranteed to be the number one overall pick, you have to go. You have to go. And it's something how most people, you know, when they go to college, they go because they need to get their college degree. And it's going to help them in their professional life later on in life. But here, I mean, there's a small, very small percentage of people. They go to college. They don't go for the degree. They don't go for the classes. They don't go to learn anything. They go for one reason, and that's to make it to the NFL or make it to the NBA. That's the only reason that they're going to college, and they have to go to college. They can't just skip college and go to the NFL or the NBA out of high school. That is not allowed legally.
So is there any truth to the rumor that Lawrence is studying macrobiology while he's in college playing for Clemson?
He's not like the singer of the band The Offspring.
So no macrobiology, no.
Coleman, no. He's not like Dexter Holland from Offspring. But the news is he did just test positive yesterday for COVID-19.
Nah, he'll be fine.
Of course he's going to be fine.
He'll be fine.
My question is, I wonder if he's going to get his hair cut before he goes to the NFL, or if he's just going to keep the long locks.
If we vote to make gambling legal in the city, that could be something that they could put on there. How, like, what are the odds of Goldilocks cutting his hair before he gets drafted?
Well, not just the city, Coleman. It's on the ballot this Tuesday, and many people already early voted. Besides voting for president, one of the questions they ask you, should sports gambling be legalized here in the state of Louisiana? And I hope everybody says yes, because that's just going to be a cash windfall for the state. And then that money, that cash, can go towards public education, public schools. We always need more money here in the state of Louisiana. So I hope, that would be something to bet on. I wonder what the odds would be. Does he cut his hair or doesn't he cut his hair before or after the NFL draft? Well, anyways, he's not playing this week because he's got coronavirus. Old Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback of Clemson. Hey, coming up next on the show, Brad Pitt just dumped his married girlfriend. You heard that right. She just went back to his husband. But don't a lot of couples have a deal like their fantasy? If I just was able to be with one other, even though you're my wife and even though you're my husband, if I was able to be with just one other fantasy person, just knowing it would never happen. But this woman, we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So Brad Pitt just broke up with his, the last girl he was doing sex with. Latest girlfriend, whatever you want to call her. She's a German model who's 30 years younger than him. And her name is Nicole Pacholowski. And she went back to her husband. She was married to some really, really, really rich older guy. You know, that's what some really good-looking women do. They marry older guys who are loaded. But evidently, she met him in the restaurant in Germany that her husband owns. Brad Pitt just happened to go in there to get something to eat, met her. And they were They were slamming it for a while. But she just, he broke up with her, and she went back to her husband. He's still going through legal battles, custody battles, with his recent, well, his latest ex-wife, Angelina Jolie. They're still going through all kinds of, she doesn't want him to see I think they got 6 or 7 kids from 6 or 7 different continents. And I guess the kids live with her. He wants to see the kids more, but she's battling him. It's a mess. This is what some people do with marriage. But it got me thinking, because with Brad Pitt's girlfriend or girl, that young woman that he just, the German model that he just broke up with, and she went back to her husband. I know there are some couples that have jokingly said, look, if I could do sex with one person, even though we're married, it's like a fantasy. I know it's never going to happen. But if I could do sex with one person outside of this marriage, would you let me? And who would it be? Evidently, for this German model, Brad Pitt was at least this guy. Who knows who she's going to be with in the future? But
I guess...
I remember one of my ex-girlfriends, Coleman, back in the 90s, early mid-90s. The woman I probably should have married. We talked about that. And we used to say, okay, just if you could outside it, we're happy with each other, but just as a fantasy, knowing it'll never happen, who would be the one person that you would want to do sex with? She said John Bon Jovi.
Okay.
And this is the early mid-90s.
And who did you say?
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, that's very dated. Those are very dated.
Very dated.
Very, very dated references.
Very dated, but that's the first thing that I could think of when I thought of this. I mean, could you imagine, Coleman, not only the amount of women Brad Pitt has done sex with, but what they look like?
I can only imagine.
I mean, could you just imagine that?
That's all I can do is imagine. I've seen the ones that we know about, and they were pretty hot. So imagine the ones we don't know about.
I mean, look, when he first went to Hollywood, you know, and he was an up-and-coming actor. I remember some of his early movies. I mean, just imagine him going out somewhere on the Sunset Strip, going out somewhere in Los Angeles, and he could. He's one of those guys that could, much like a very attractive woman, they could go into any place they want to go into, and they could look around and they could say, "I want to do sex with that person. I want to do sex with," and they would.
Didn't Brad Pitt recently say in an interview that some of the problems he was going through, he said, I would love to just switch persons. Sometimes I wish I wasn't me or something to that effect. And I think we talked about that on the show. It was like, no, we had to call him out on his BS, because there's no way Brad Pitt would switch places with any of us regular dudes.
Yeah, I mean, he's 56 years old now.
And he's not that bad looking for 56.
And again, this woman was around 26 years old, or right around there. I mean, just imagine being him. And like walking into pretty much any place you walk into, you could say, you know, you, come here.
Yeah.
You married? Who cares?
He literally just did. He went to Germany, saw that chick, and was like, hey. And the German chick was like, you know, I date the richest person in Germany right now. He actually owns this restaurant. He walked into another man's restaurant and stole his chick. It brought her back to America. Yeah, that's a Brad Pitt move right there.
Yeah, and then, you know, because he's Brad Pitt, he was like, all right, I'm that's enough of this. You go back to your husband, and I'll go back to my life and, you know, go back to do what I do, and that's meet women who look like you.
If you were the husband, would you take her back? If you were the German restaurant owner husband, would you be like, yeah, all right, I'll let that one slide. It was Brad Pitt. I understand it. Take
well,
a
that's why I brought up, okay, this is, you could be with one person, your fantasy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for her, it might have been Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe he wasn't cool with it. Maybe Brad Pitt just had that power and took her away from the German dude, and now she went back to the German dude. If I was the German dude, I'd be like, no bueno, no, sorry. Nine. Can't do it.
So if you were that older, really, really rich German dude, you would find just another young, really gorgeous woman. You wouldn't take this one back?
Dude, you know how, think about it. I'd be like, that would be one of my sell points, man. I get women so high that Brad Pitt even likes them. You know what I'm saying? Brad Pitt has to take my women. That's how much game I have. So that would be a selling point. Women will want me because I would be the guy that has the type of women that Brad Pitt is into. So that would be my selling point whenever I meet a chick. You know, I sleep with the same women Brad Pitt does. So he must like my women. I must be doing something right. That would be my sales pitch.
It's a good attitude to have. Yeah. You know, that's the way to look at it, I guess. You know?
I've actually smashed the chick that dated a football player once. That was right around after Katrina. I didn't know she was going to bang. I didn't know she was going to be
ass. What, a Saint? An NFL player? New Orleans Saint?
No, not a Saint. A football. He played for the NFL. I don't recall his name, but this was years ago, and I remember seeing the pictures online, like, oh, this new couple, like, hey, I smashed a long time ago, you know? But.
Yeah, but I always remember with that one specific ex-girlfriend, knowing obviously it's never going to happen, but in this particular case, it happened. Like, you're a married couple. Have you ever had that conversation with your wife or your husband? Hey, one fantasy person that you could do sex with.
Mine's just recently got married, Scarlett Johansson.
She just married the
Colin
dude
Jones, yes.
That does like, the news, the news updates, the weekend update on Saturday Night Live, Colin Jones.
Yeah, that would be my fantasy woman, but she just screwed it up by marrying Colin Jones. This text says the German, I guess referring to the German guy, Brad Pitt gets my sloppy seconds.
Yeah, see, that's the way you think, Coleman.
Brad Pitt gets my sloppy
seconds. Yeah, you can. I've been there. I've done that. Yeah, you could. Yeah, sure.
What did Tommy Lee say about, what's her name, Pamela?
Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, no matter how beautiful a woman is, there's some guy that's tired of smashing her. So.
Well, no, you know who said that?
Who said that?
Scott Baio is the one who said that. Scott Baio in a very famous interview. Because Scott Baio, I think, was the first guy to do sex with Pamela Anderson when she came to Los Angeles from Canada.
Okay.
And if you remember what Pamela Anderson looked like when she first came to Los Angeles, oh, my God.
I remember vividly.
Oh, my God. And he was asked, how do you break up with that? And then Scott Baio, he said one of the most famous, and he said this like 20 years ago, 21 years. He said, you find me the hottest woman you could lay your eyes on, and I will find you one guy that is tired of doing sex with that.
I could believe him.
Isn't that something?
I'm not in that position yet. I'm still trying. I'm still on my scavenger hunt. I got some years ahead of me.
Nah. Well, anyways, Brad Pitt split from his married girlfriend who's about 30 years younger than him, and she's, I think, back with her German husband now, and he's being Brad Pitt. He'll probably go out tonight and Jesus, have a great time here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So do you know who Olivia Culpo is? She's a gorgeous model, and she also happens to be the girlfriend of Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey. Well, just the other day, she posted a picture for her 4.7 million followers on Instagram, and the picture was of her in a white bikini somewhere on vacation. And she looks absolutely incredible. But some of the comments underneath the picture were from people asking her, when is your boyfriend going to be back in the lineup playing running back for the Carolina Panthers again? Because her boyfriend, Christian McCaffrey, has a high ankle sprain, and he's missed the last four games or so. And those must be either Carolina Panther fans or fantasy football players who want to know when their best player, their top draft pick, is going to be back in their lineup.
Well, why don't they go to his particular Instagram page instead of going to her Instagram page to figure it out? What, he doesn't have one or he doesn't have a Twitter? They can go directly to him. I'm quite sure he has social media somewhere.
But I mean, here's this gorgeous picture of this 28-year-old model, Olivia Culpo, in a white bikini. She looks incredible. And some of the comments underneath the picture were asking her when her boyfriend will be back in the lineup for the Carolina Panthers. They lost last night at home to the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Atlanta actually won a ball game last night on Thursday Night Football. Not many people thought that was going to happen. But I just, well, that's something. She's something else. Olivia Culpa.
What priorities?
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. And it has to do with another Florida man. Actually, Florida men. A couple of them. And be careful what you pay for. You might end up in the hospital. That's coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you, oh, since it's Friday, the dumbest thing I read all week. Florida man paid $150 for full contact experience with black leopard, was mauled by the big cat. Florida man was mauled by the black leopard after paying $150 for a full contact experience with it.
Well, when you think about the experience he had with the black leopard, you know, getting mauled, $150 is a bargain.
A Florida man was mauled by a black leopard after paying the owner of a private animal sanctuary $150 for a full contact experience with the rare cat. 50-year-old Dwight Turner had to undergo several surgeries from the attack in an enclosure behind the home of Michael Paggi in the town of Davie, Florida. That's not far from Miami. Dwight Turner paid $150.
Yeah.
To quote, play with, have a full contact experience with the black leopard and rub its belly behind Michael Paggi's home. The animal charged Dwight Turner once he walked into the enclosure. One of Mr. Turner's ears was ripped apart and his scalp was hanging from his head.
Whoa.
He got scalped. Like one of those old John Wayne movies. But the guy, after several hospital visits and being patched up by Florida hospitals, he's going to be all right. Could you imagine? He paid for that.
Yeah.
He paid $150 to almost have his head ripped off. He literally had his scalp hanging from his head, and he had one of his ears ripped apart.
And his exact words were, he wants a full contact experience. I think the owner of the black leopard got gypped. Because $150, yeah, I can see a belly rub, but this dude got the full-on experience. He got to see what the leopard was like in the wild. He got to experience the mauling. He got the full experience. So I think he actually owes the owner more money because he clearly got more than what he bargained for.
Yeah, this guy obviously advertises somehow or some way. Hey, I own exotic animals. One of the animals I have behind my house is a very rare black leopard. And for $150, you could come over to my house, in my backyard, go in the enclosure, and you could have a full contact experience. You can play with the black leopard.
Oh, yeah, he got his experience, all right.
The rare cat. Well, so you say he got his money's worth.
Did he? He got his money's worth and then some. Like I said, I still think he owes the owner of the big cat just a little bit more money. $150 doesn't cover all that. He got the full 100% experience.
So the Florida man who was mauled by the black leopard after paying $150 for a full contact experience with the big cat. That's the dumbest thing I read all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.